Hey guys, Alex here with Mr. Greg Pease, our co-host.
I am, as every other episode, excited to be here. And again, we bring another good topic.
Yes, we do. And it's funny you say I'm excited to be here. Most of you don't know, but I pump him up with candy before he starts. For a man as disciplined as he is on his diet, that's a lot.
It's a lot.
But no, great topic today. So we want to talk about something. I guess the only thought process that comes into mind with this is wide receiver or wide open.
And
it's having that wide open mindset when it comes to different things in life, like criticism and things like that, which we'll dive into deeper. But I think we have a great topic here for those of you who are listening today.
And really around being receptive to, being receptive to everything. And so in being receptive doesn't mean that you approved or allowed it, but that you're taking everything in for its value.
Absolutely. Well, and one of those things, you know, as individuals, let's face it, we always say, hey, I'm open to criticism. Hey, let me know what it is you think about it. Hey, watch this. And the fact is sometimes criticism stings. Sometimes it hurts. You know, sometimes it's like, yeah, we're open to it, but the truth is raw. And the truth doesn't give a F about anybody.
No, you know? It's just the fact. And when you think about, like, when you said, like, it stings, like the reaction that I thought physically, but it happens mentally for us, like something stings, we kind of flinch.
Yeah.
And then so then that mind kind of flinches. What happens? You get that contraction. That mind's no longer wide open.
Right.
And a lot of times we can grow. It's not that someone may deliver you a good message in a bad way. Mm-hmm. Someone may deliver you a good message in a bad way. If you allow the failure of their bad way to not allow you to receive the good message, that's going to then be your fault. That's where you can open up your mind to receptivity. And it doesn't mean that I am okay with or allowing if someone did it in the bad way. It means that it's important for me to receive what was the thing that I can grow from.
Well, and it's important that you say it like that too, because the thing is you're absolutely right. Like the delivery of when I tell you something, like if I say, Greg, gray is just a horrible color on you. Like that's more attacking than saying, hey, Greg, you know what? I know you love the color gray, but actually, can you try this color?
Have you thought about this?
Have you thought about that?
Whatever the case may be.
And for the record, I'm not saying gray is a horrible color. I just happen to look up. I see gray shirt, gray wall, gray hat, and I'm like, gray.
You're like, it's a
50 shades of gray.
50 shades of gray.
Right. 50 shades. There you go. But no, it's 100% about delivery. And when we think about that with the kids too. Like the way you would communicate with, say, a 5-year-old versus a 15-year-old. You know, your delivery has to be totally different because the comprehension level is much different. And I think that applies to those of us as we progress through the stages of our career and our life. We need to be spoken to at different levels.
Correct.
You know?
Correct.
What you tell a high-producing real estate agent or loan officer or CEO, you would not communicate that the same way that you would somebody that's entry-level.
Absolutely.
You know? The message may be the same.
Correct.
But the delivery needs to be different because what that person's able to intake is going to be different.
And so it kind of comes down to, which I love tying into our prior podcast, when we talked about from the leadership stance, we have to be mindful of how we're delivering our message.
Right.
And then from the growth standpoint of an open mind, it says regardless of how they delivered their message, what was the message?
Yeah.
For example, if finding out, you know, if literally you saying about when we discussed the shirt and how you presented the shirt and gray, and you said, hey, this probably ain't the best way to put it. The fact of the matter is if there was value in that, if I was receptive to it, I still could take away a growth point.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a big thing to it. You know, you and I were at a conference 2 weeks ago, and the conference that we were initially attending to go to was what we perceived as a higher level. Like,
extremely.
Hey, this is going to be intense. It's going to be this. And that
conference
got canceled.
When you say what we perceive to be, I mean, they did have 4 a.m. PT.
Right.
It was a little bit more intense.
The perception versus actual.
It was, but we were super excited to go. It was actually a leadership seminar on how to improve, how to sharpen our leadership skills.
Yep.
Go ahead.
No, and so there was an opportunity. We're like, hey, you know what? That show's canceled. However, there's this other event going on, and we can take and we can do X, Y, and Z. The biggest thing that comes into that isn't the quality of the event that maybe we didn't attend. It isn't the quality of the event that we did attend, because I feel there was a lot of value in the event that we did go to. But it was that we were able to reorganize and say, all right, we're still going to make the best of the situation. The fact is we're going to be there. We're going to utilize this time in a way that is still going to deliver a product that I think it was a great product. I don't know if we saw the videos or not.
So absolutely. Yeah. It was outstanding. It was impressive.
It was good.
But if we it was good.
Good.
But if we did not, if we would have hung our heads for the event that didn't come to fruition, we would have missed all these other opportunities.
Exactly.
We wouldn't have that open mind. We wouldn't have been receptive of what was still to come.
Right.
And the fact of the matter is, I mean, it was literally what it was supposed to be. We got so much more done, and in the future we'll still go to another muster.
Oh yeah, for sure. And that event that we did attend, there was so much value that was brought out of that. Now, saying that is the other side, whereas if we had walked in that event and been like, oh, this is going to suck, you know.
It would have.
Absolutely. It would have delivered exactly what we expect, and that was a horrible event. But the fact is we were able to – I mean, you were able to connect with some people, you know. And
a lot of people, yeah.
Right. And ways to enhance what it is we do on a day-to-day, you know. Take a credit repair, for example. You were able to connect with the person that actually helped one of your clients – and you were able to put a face with the name and realize that, hey, this is what this person does.
Let me take us on a little tangent real quick. That was really, really cool. That person, so very probably only a week or two prior, I had a client of mine utterly bragging on this credit repair specialist that you had connected them with.
Right.
And so lo and behold, here we are in Dallas, and I actually happened to meet her face-to-face. It was really cool getting to have that experience of where a client had bragged on her, and then I'm there to meet her and make a personal connection and obviously know her service through the reputation experience of my clients. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's something that's a relationship now that you can tap back into it. If you had another client that needed that situation, you can say, hey, Jana, this is XYZ. Hope you're doing well. You know, very nice meeting you in Dallas, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you've just opened yourself to another relationship that can help you achieve the goals that you're after.
Absolutely.
Another thing we want to talk about, and this is something you brought up, and I thought there was a ton of value in you bringing this up, and that is kind of the passive way to approach people. You know, we brought up the late thing. And, you know, you have a person that's consistently late, and you go – and as a boss, you may walk in and say, hey, man, you're always late. You know, what's going on?
Yeah.
Versus the buddy that's like, you are always late. You know, it's just it's a passive way to go through and you're affirming that there's an issue. It's whether that person is perceptive and receptive of that message without having to be direct.
Correct. And then so we look at our boss, right, at some level is paying us or filtering the pay that's coming to us, some level, right? So that person is they have demands, that expectations that have to be met in right. order for you to maintain that relationship. Of course, when we go to friends, we don't owe our friends anything and they don't owe us anything. So a lot of times when they say that little nudge on the shoulder, dude, you're always late, we laugh about it. Ha ha, yeah, we're always late. If we allowed ourselves that open receptivity, right? Because most of us say, you know, such and such delivered the message wrong. They were so mean about it.
Yeah.
Well, what about our friends that are like the other side of the spectrum, super nice about it? There's still value. Like they are telling you in the rawest and nicest form
right.
what your ad values can be if you were to choose to pay attention to them.
They're literally validating what other people are seeing. You know, that's what's crazy. And again, you know, as individuals, if your boss says it versus your friend, like that should hit to the core.
Right.
You know, your boss is there to manage you. And for those of you, I want to clarify, there's going to be people listening that are like, I don't have a boss. I am the boss. The fact of the matter is, do you have a family? Because if you do, the wife and kids or husband and children that you leave at home every day to go run your own business, if you're wasting your time you're wasting your time, what do you think they'd be saying? What do you think if your boss, husband or wife, kids, daughter, whatever, was standing over you watching you play some video game, you know, on your cell phone for 2 hours when you're literally out there trying to collect a check?
Bingo.
You know?
Strengthening them thumbs, scrolling.
Right, exactly. Clash of Clans, level 10,000. I don't even know if that's a thing. But the fact is, like, literally put yourself in that mindset that, hey, if my significant other was standing over my shoulder seeing me do this, would they think that's an appropriate usage of my time, or would I be better off sitting on the couch with my family?
Right, right.
You know?
Well, and that even gets into, of course, holding ourselves accountable, but being receptive to blame.
Yeah, absolutely.
Realizing how we are, if we're receptive to things that aren't optimal in our life, if we can figure out what is our piece in that puzzle.
Right.
Because then we can change that piece.
Well, and the other thing, the last thing I kind of want to, well, there's two last things. So I guess it's not the last thing. It's the last thing of the thing before last. owning your mistakes. You know, the fact of the matter is it's very easy to cast blame. It's very easy in a mortgage process, for example, for me to be like, you know what, Greg? Man, processing dropped the ball on this. And I don't know why, but it's processing's fault. That may sound good, and easy to the individual that's used to receiving excuses, to somebody that's going to go ahead and let you take a toll pass on this one and say, you know what, we'll let him blame this person. But in actuality, for a seasoned individual like yourself, if I'm blaming the processor, your first response is, why didn't you have eyes on it? Right, you know, why weren't you tracking that? Doesn't that processor work with you? Isn't that processor on your team? Why weren't you keeping track of it? So isn't it much easier for me to come to you and say, hey man, I sent this to processing. I lost track of it. This issue popped up. I should have kept eyes on it. I apologize. Here's what I'm going to do to fix it next time. Isn't that a better, like, what can you say? You can't be mad.
I mean, yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, and there's a level of comfort in total ownership. Like, I know that you have control of this thing.
Right.
We're not where we should be, but I still can rest assured that you clearly have all your paws on it.
Yep. And here's the greatest thing. So let's say we get to a situation where it was truly out of our hands, okay, where the appraiser didn't show up when he was supposed to or didn't return the report. Then the next time something happens, I say, look, man, here's what happened. The appraiser actually didn't arrive on time or whatever the case.
It's understood. It's known.
Yeah. You look at it and you're like, you know what? I know he takes blame and for everything that's within his control. This has to be something out of his control. So I accept that as the response of why this didn't happen. How can we fix this next time?
Right.
You know, that's a very different level. And I think that as we progress in our careers, we see that and we say, hey, you know what? If we take ownership from this, it doesn't give us a free pass from when we actually screw up, but it gives some understanding when something does happen that was out of our control.
Absolutely. That's huge.
It is. It's massive. The last thing I want to dip into, and it's funny I say dip into, because I'm talking about the ripple reaction.
Oh, wow. Yeah, this is good.
It is. So, you know, when we do things, for example, let's go back to the mortgage process of it, you know, and I hate to use this example because I'm not trying to push the fact of what it is we do for a living, but this is what we know. And so let's say it takes a little bit longer to get to the processor, and in turn, it affects when the appraisal is ordered, and in turn, it affects when we can close, and in turn, it affects when the underwriter can approve it. We now have a ripple based on one person's deficiency. So if I don't deliver it to processing in a timely manner, that means a processor can't do his or her job, which means the other pieces can't fall into play. I've just rippled the whole board.
Absolutely.
And now at some point we have to work as a dam to stop the ripple.
Right.
So
right,
somebody
right.
in the process, whether it's the appraiser getting a rush order, getting it back in time, the processor doing extra work, taking time away from his or her family in order to get my work done, or the underwriter being rushed. Somebody's got to become that dam and stop the ripple, right?
And kind of tying all this together, or not kind of, literally tying all this together, you know, we start with being receptive, being wide open, that open mind. First and foremost, you know, when we've all known someone and maybe we've done it ourselves once or twice, walking down a path that we got our sights set on, mm-hmm. and people are like, hey, maybe shift left a little bit. Nope, got it. Hey, maybe yep. shift left a little. Nope, got it.
Right.
And so first we weren't receptive, right? And then we didn't allow ourselves to take ownership of take responsibility of problems. Mm-hmm. And the last and final product is we create massive ripples for others.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we create this atmosphere. Now these other people are disgruntled at some level because we didn't perform.
Right.
We created events for them. And through all this, you know, we create an atmosphere that's not positive.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to tie this one up. I know you've got some things going on today. I do as well. We hope that everybody that's listening to this obviously has a merry, merry Christmas. It's Christmas today, technically. The day it's released, this is Christmas. So happy Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Any closing thoughts?
My closing thoughts for today, based upon two ears and one mouth. We're going to get a lot further. The stupid saying, listen twice as much as you speak. Sorry to be so cliche on you. We're going to get a lot further, believe it or not, through receiving than we are giving. And it's in opposition of Christmas spirit, right? Christmas
without giving up,
right? It's opposite. But when it comes to you, literally take in twice as much, and because what we're giving out a lot of times is just hot air.
Yeah.
It doesn't have value, doesn't have weight to something. So pause for a minute. There's a lot of people around us that are giving us, taking the value of what they're giving us.
That's pretty heavy too, on, especially on a day that's known for the exact opposite of what you're talking about. Like if you're listening to this, you know, one thing I want to toss in for the ripple that we're talking about, share this with somebody. You know, today's the day of giving, the day of receiving. So share this podcast. If you think there's an individual out there that'll benefit from it, literally maybe that person that you nudge and say, hey, man, you're always late.
Yeah.
Maybe this is appropriate to share with them. Also, let us know the way we can give back best to you. Maybe leave some comments on what it is that you're looking for to get out of this show. Want to thank everybody for tuning in. Hope you and your family are having a safe and joyful holiday. Or as we call it around here, Christmas. Not to offend my Jewish friends. You know?
Yeah, that's right.
But we hope you're having a great holiday. We look forward to talking to you soon.